Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Second hour here in the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road here with Paul Kuharski in for Robbie. We got Nick Kieser producing, as always. We got intern Colin. Broadcasting for the Bisbee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. You can hit us up on the 1025 The Game phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. We did have quite a few reactions, by the way.
Just a quick PK. Aside.
There's a
national side, national show asking, they're having a great debate, who's the greatest fictional baseball player of all time? I think there's only one answer to this question, is Roy Hobbs.
I think you thinking it's that easy is a little bit silly. I could go. I mean, who have we got in Major League? We got Pedro Serrano.
From a cartoonish thing.
You don't like that movie?
No, I like that movie, but they're nowhere good as Roy Hobbs. Roy Hobbs was the greatest player that ever lived.
I mean, I'm not dismissing Roy Hobbs, but I think that it's worth a debate. I don't think it's like, oh, Roy Hobbs, everybody.
I think it's not worth.
I mean, what about Moonlight? What about Moonlight Graham?
Has no batting average.
Well, he finally got a shot. Moonlight Graham. I think clearly
Roy Hobbs.
I think okay, we could revisit that because I don't think it's like Roy Hobbs and everybody else. I mean, Jake what was his last name?
Jake Taylor.
Yeah, Jake Taylor with the called shot bunt. Come on. He's got the knees and he's come
You
on.
Couldn't even think
no?
of his name.
Well,
Roy Hobbs is like Babe Ruth.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. We welcome your input on that too. Some other people real quick, some people throw some thoughts on the NFL player. Vince Young got some love on that.
Vince Young was never going to be good. He didn't have the work ethic.
Josh Gordon.
Mindset.
Well, what I said to Keith from Bowling Green was that was largely self-inflicted though, right?
Yes.
I mean, so, but yeah, I mean, I guess the way I framed the question, he probably doesn't qualify as well as some others. Tyrone Calico, someone threw on there. Also, by the way, K. Dotty says the NFL – idea, move the goalpost back into the field. But you and he would just want people to get injured left and right, man.
I mean, if the goalposts were at the goal line, there would be so many broken ribs.
It is so weird to watch that.
Yeah, it's hard to fathom that they once were there.
Well, and by the way, and this seriously just crossed my mind, they never were in college football, right? I don't think they were. I think in college football, they were always behind the end zone. Was that like a way the NFL was trying to distinguish itself? Because obviously, as people should know, I mean, college football was an established sport long before the NFL came along.
Yeah, I that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, the reason to put
it's
it
like
there
a, it's like an XFL
it,
gimmick.
Is for kickers, right? You wanted the field goals to be accurately long.
You wanted the field goal more opportunity to make field goals.
Yeah, and for it to be accurate, like if you're hitting a 20-yard field goal, it would actually be 20 yards instead of the extra 10 yards.
Yeah,
which in hindsight is so irrelevant.
Yeah, we definitely do not want that change. All right, so I had my second storyline. I'm just the safety position, okay, for the Titans, and we talked about already today. You had a story on Jamal Adams at paulkuharski.com and his role. But I just think an addition, an injury, an emergence of some of these young guys, is Molden able to go every day in camp? Is he past the soft tissue stuff that's dogged him so much? There's just a lot of elements of the safety position. I know some people – I know the safety position is devalued. I know the safety position is not as important as others, but it's important. And if it's a bad situation, then some of your other gains can be undercut by that. So I think that's one of my top three things in camp, looking at this team, is how that is all going to shake out.
That's a good one. you know, they left or they're leaving open the possibility of still adding another, depending on what happens, depending on prices. Justin Simmons could land here. I think he's a real long shot. Unless his mentality totally changes, and he's probably waiting for an injury somewhere.
Exactly.
You know, that could be here. Who knows? I think Condre Diggs is, you know, probably also wants more than they feel like he's worth. I'd feel, you know, if they added one of those two guys, all of a sudden you'd feel like the secondary is just airtight. I really like Amani Hooker's playmaking ability. But Amani Hooker, look, the Titans don't have a traditional free safety. Now, they're going to tell you that two safety positions are interchangeable and they just field two safeties. You know, and having corners that can cover deep better is going to help you. But in this day and age, with teams willing to take shots, a lot of teams that they face with quarterbacks who can take shots and with receivers who are big time, I know you're counting on L'Jarius Sneed to shut down that big, that biggest weapon, but you know, center fielding safety is part of the formula a lot of times there. And L'Jarius Sneed, as good as he is somebody's going to get behind him occasionally.
Of course, he's aggressive.
You know, and on the other side, the other side, you need a safety over top. So. You know, who's going to be that guy? Hooker is not known. You know, if you list the guys, none of them are known for their speed. Hooker is not a speed guy. He's more of a thumper. Molden is definitely not a speed guy. Adams is absolutely not a speed guy.
I think Hooker, and I think Molden, but I guess we'll find out more. But I think Hooker and Molden run well enough to play safety in the NFL and cover the deep part of the field. I mean, they're not – not star players, you know, but I think they can do that. And I
don't
agree
think
with you.
I don't think Molden runs well enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's the problem is with him is like we just haven't seen a lot.
And they both get asterisks.
Remember, slow. You know, a little bit lacking foot fleetedness at corner. Does you know, that's why you guys go to safety, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's you got a little bit more cushion there, but
they're both going to have asterisks. In the chart I'm bringing in tomorrow where we're saying if healthy.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
No, absolutely. Okay, your third story.
My third is where does the pass rush come from? We know Harold Landry can rush the passer, and we know Jeffrey Simmons can rush the passer. We know Arden Key at times can rush the passer. Beyond that, it's a question mark. We don't know about Tavondre Sweat, and I just tweeted this. Near the end of OTAs, Brian Callahan said he was confident Tavondre Sweat would be ready for camp. Tavondre Sweat got hurt the first day of OTAs, was not seen again. I was told very quickly it was not serious and not long term. A week out, back to my tweet, a week out I'm hearing the second round pick is, quote, expected to be on the field for the start of things in a week. Not sure if that's a bit of a downgrade or just semantics. If it is, in fact, a bit of a downgrade, Callahan at the podium said, you know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks doesn't shift it from short term to long term. If he's unable to go a week from today on the field, that's 10 weeks. 10 weeks is not a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. That is a long-term thing that will have been a long-term thing, even if it takes him 2 or 3 days to get back in. That's concerning that something that was originally cast as a 1, 2, or 3 week thing would have taken him 10 weeks to recover from. Maybe that timetable would have been accelerated in season. But if it took 10 weeks now, it would have taken, what, 7 or 8 in the season conceivably? That would be concerning. We'll have to see how that shakes out. We don't know about Tavondre Sweat. We don't know about Caleb Murphy. We don't know about Thomas Rush. We don't know about Jalen Harrell. I'm not counting on anything out of those three guys. I mean, it's not just that we don't know about them. They don't have pedigrees. Caleb Murphy got sacks at a very low level. He didn't earn anything last year. Thomas Rush is a guy off
the
street. Jalen Harrell is a seventh-round pick who's a developmental guy. If there's no pass rush, these corners who are great aren't going to matter as much. This is one of the biggest issues on the team. It's been under-discussed. We knew they weren't going to be able to do everything in one offseason. This is the thing they didn't do. I think they should be looking. Carl Lawson, whoever. It's a spot that needs addressing. It's my single biggest concern with the team. I'm looking at these guys, Murphy, Rush, Harrell, whoever else, to a huge opportunity for somebody to emerge to earn pass rush snaps.
All right, I'll have my last one. We're stretching this out, but I'll have my last one when we come back. And there it is along the same lines, although I expanded a little bit beyond the pass rush in terms of health concerns. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey, folks, the Game Summer Ticket Tour is back. Join our own Joe Dubin at Yazoo Brewing Company, 900 River Bluff Drive in Madison, this Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. as he gives away tickets to upcoming concerts in Nashville, including Def Leppard, Bush, Train, Dierks Bentley, and more. Also get signed up for the grand prize tickets to a Preds home game, Sounds game, and the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex. Paul Kuharski in for Robbie. And we are going through our top three each storylines going into camp. So mine sort of along – my last one sort of along the same lines of yours, PK, but the way I frame it is the health and shape – I guess it's more shape with one of them than the other – of L'Jarius Sneed and T'Vondre Sweat. Apostrophes in their names, asterisks next to the defense if there's any issues there. You just talked about Sweat and sort of a little bit of – I mean, I'm with you. It's a big concern if you're talking more than 2 months later that whatever was very much brushed off as a minor injury is still bothering him. And if that's the case, how much conditioning and all that was he not able to do in the last several weeks, which were very important for him to do because he, to me, needs to be a key part of this defense. And then Sneed.
And more broadly, just on Sweat. More broadly, what's it say about his ability to recover from stuff, generally?
Right.
Every injury is different.
Sure.
But something cast as minor, if it's a 10-week deal, bad news. We'll
right.
see in a week.
Yeah, exactly. Like, was it just, is that just a, I guess this is one of those things you kind of learn about coaches, too. Is it, like, default to, like, brush off any injury? Or, because I took it, like, Brian Callahan, the way he talked about it, was like, no, it's not a big deal.
Right.
And so,
but maybe he's learning. Maybe he's learning Sweat.
Well, that's true too. And you may disagree with me on Sneed. We've obviously talked about this, had some fun at Stilley's expense on this. I don't think it's the end of the world. You know that he was
missing. That's not a big deal. Missing what's coming up to me is up a significant notch.
But how much? Because remember, he missed a lot of the Chiefs camp last year, and it didn't bother him during the season. So
not Sneed, Sweat. Sorry, yeah, no, Sneed's going to miss stuff.
Okay, but so what would you say would be, I guess, a non-concerning level of missed time from L'Jarius Sneed in training camp?
It's a great question. Off the top of my head, and I reserve the right to adjust this based on what I see, I think if L'Jarius Sneed is out there a third of the time, I'll feel all right about
okay.
it. What do you think about that?
That seems about, I mean, to me, like half would be better. But, yeah, I think that's probably fine, and that's probably not outside of
the realm of
what you might expect.
A third to half.
Yeah. So, look, I just think that those two guys.
Adams, we could include Adams in this. His role is going to be smaller conceivably, but he's going to be a chess piece, and he's going to be super managed also. But I think for Adams, it's a little bit more significant because Sneed is go cover that best receiver, and Adams is going to be, well, your big nickel here, your safety here, your dime linebacker here, which I think he can do all of that, but the people around him need to play with him doing all of that, right?
Yeah.
So managing you, I still need you out there enough for people to be familiar with you.
I guess, yeah, look, I if they can get some a good role out of Jamal Adams, great. But to me, like this defense, they added a body with a name who used to be really good. Like Snead and Sweat have to be difference makers, snap in, snap out for this defense. And I mean, I really believe that with Sweat, especially with Autry leaving. I mean, I just think that if they get the version of him they believe they drafted, that is going to make a big difference. And that means how many snaps can he play in a game? I mean, and if it's going to be diminished or if he's going to be out of shape or whatever, then immediately. And look, the thing is, a player like this, of course, they, you would hope, would be motivated to prove everyone wrong, right? Like everybody talks about that. This is an actual situation where you are. But also, as soon as it's you miss some time or whatever, the negativity on that also is hard to like deal with as a player, right? So I think the stakes are really high right away with him. And then Snead, to take him out of the defense, it looks a lot different than the different. Than the best version you thought it might be.
And we've seen too many rookies on this franchise since you've been here in town who miss chunks of training camp, and it bites you in the ass. Go ahead, bleep that, Nick.
Don't bleep it. No, Nick, you throw that word around just
willy-nilly
now. Yeah, no, it's – I mean – the Snead thing is going to get tiresome because, and I hope that they're like, you know, Vrabel started to become a little more out front with some of that stuff. Cause I think he is like, okay, just so you guys know, like Hopkins last year, remember? He's like, hey guys, Hopkins not going to be here tomorrow. Just so you know. Like, I think the more that's communicated up front, like even like, I mean, are they going to give us the exact daily plan? No, but
we're also now allowed to report a guy on the side field. So it'll be more upfront in that regard. We don't have to pretend that field's invisible.
Is that right? I didn't know that. That's an official change.
Yeah, I just at the end of a practice, at the end of a press session, we pulled him aside and said, how would you like us to treat that? And he said, you can say who's out there. So that's a
sea change. I missed that. Good job.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice work. Now can you get us more than two players after practice? That's your next.
Chipping away. Listen, we don't know what the rule is, but. Please, God, let the locker room be open on Wednesday.
Adam in Portland on the phone line driven by WilsonHyundai.com. Adam, what's going on?
Hey, Joe, man. So here's my problem, man. As a fellow fat guy, I don't like that you draft him fat and then you're mad that he's fat. Like, he plays well fat. Leave him alone. Like, I say the bigger the better. Until you see him, like, struggle, I don't care what he comes in at. Like, I do not care about weight. Doesn't mean anything to me. If you tell me you draft a kid with asthma, but you know his asthma's in check, whatever. That's a little bit different, I guess. But you tell me you draft a fat guy who was drafted in the second round, I expect him to come in and play just as well as he did as a fat guy at Texas. You know what I mean?
Thanks, Adam. Yeah, I mean, look, there's some truth to that. Like, he was huge at Texas. People were saying he was playing in the 370s. Did you watch him play? He freaking played, man. But I think in this league – you got to trim it down some, right?
Like for endurance.
Yeah, just for the. I mean, you got more games, and it's a heck of a slog to get through a season. And I just think that a little bit more, and it's also a higher level of play. I mean, it's a higher level of offensive lineman you're facing, and I think that he is maximized at a little bit. A little bit trimmer, a little bit less sloppy.
That's, but your overall premise is a good one.
Yeah.
You're not asking to get to 325.
You're not trying. This is not like Udonis Haslam, who anybody remembers him as a freshman at Florida, as a space-eating post player turning into a small forward in the NBA because he lost like 100 pounds. I mean, no. He's a space eater, and he's going to be. But, it's just – I mean, I think if you're hovering around 370 – right, like I think it's fair to say, it could go bad one direction, and also like if you just drop like 20, it's a little bit quicker.
He claimed to be 360 and said they wanted him what, 355?
Well, I think
350.
Didn't he say he said he's a Hall of Famer if he's in the 350s? Or what did he say? Oh my God, how do I forget that? You can't forget that.
How collectively can we forget that?
He said he's going to be a Hall of Famer if he – maybe he didn't put a number on it.
Did he say that or did somebody say that about
him? Yes, he said that draft night.
We're terrible.
We'll get to the bottom
of this. We'll get to the bottom of this after these words from our sponsor.
But I do have to say, we got a few submissions on the text line. Benny the Jet Rodriguez, Bugs Bunny, Ricky, Wild Thing Vaughn.
There's no way Ricky Vaughn is better than Roy Hobbs.
Kelly, I don't know, man. I like the Wild Thing. Kelly Leak from Bad News Bears. And you got Sid Finch. Oh, the SI April Fools. That's pretty good.
Sid Finch. Yeah.
That is good. I like the Benny the Jet Rodriguez. That's a good one. All right, we come back. We got
Roy Hobbs.
We got author Tom Shanahan. We're going to switch gears for a little bit here. Talk about a little bit of a myth with Bear Bryant and Alabama football. And the integration of the SEC with Tom Shanahan. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 of the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 of the game. Paul Kuharski in this week for Robbie Stanley. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, author of three books, including Ray of Light, biography of Jimmy Ray, The Right Thing to Do, and Bubba's Dad Duffy and College Football's Underground Railroad. Tom Shanahan. Tom, here to talk about some really interesting stuff that actually applies to Tennessee football as well. Tom, how are you?
Great, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being with us. So, first of all, tell us about your latest book and kind of the reaction to that right now and how all that is going.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me on because most people in the media are comfortable with the Bear Bryant myth, and it doesn't matter what facts you tell them. They're going to stick with it. And then others, they're just so confused by a story they've been hearing for 30 years, they don't know what to do with it. But when I first wrote Ray of Light 10 years ago about Jimmy Ray and Michigan State leading college football integration, I began to realize all these myths about Bear Bryant didn't add up. And if there's one thing I want your listeners to take away from my appearance today, it's that Tennessee, with Lester McLean, the first black player at Tennessee in 1967, first black player to score a game in the Southeastern Conference, and then as a sophomore in 1968, and then Jackie Walker, a two-time All-American. All these people in Tennessee have far more to do with the integration of college football than Alabama, 1970 USC Alabama game with Sam Cunningham. And here's why. The premise of the entire myth is that Alabama fans were so shocked in 1970 to see a black man, Sam Cunningham, run over their team that they agreed, okay, we're going to let Bear Bryant recruit black players. Well, there's two major holes in that myth. First of all, in 1969, a year earlier, Tennessee, in its third year of integration, went to Legion Field, and before the same supposedly bigoted Alabama fans, routed Alabama 41-14. The star of the game, Jackie Walker, the first black All-American in the Southeastern Conference, two-time All-Americans, should be in the College Football Hall of Fame, which I hope we get to discuss later, intercepted a pass in the first quarter, 21-0, first quarter lead. Tennessee led 34-0 before Alabama ever scored in a 41-14 final score. That was the shocker for Alabama fans, not this myth that was actually started in Los Angeles. And in USC fans, people behind the myth, I should say, they didn't understand all the progress that had taken place in the South from the mid-60s forward.
Yeah, so essentially, Tom, like you said, you were working on the Jimmy Ray book, which is a great book and a fascinating story of Jimmy Ray. More people should know Jimmy Ray in NFL history, too, than I think do, but so it was doing that led you kind of down this path of, I guess, you know, like you said, myth making and sort of this idea that Bear Bryant led the way, but not just that the USC game, like you just said, it was previously, you know, Tennessee came in there and did it, but also maybe that Bear Bryant himself does not deserve as much credit as he gets. Is that fair to say?
No, Bear Dog doesn't deserve any credit. If you go to my website, just Google Tom Shanahan and Jackie Walker, and you'll see a graphic about SEC football desegregation. The first school was Kentucky in 1966. Second school was Tennessee in 1967. And let's talk about Chuck Rowe, too, before we were over with. And then Florida, 1969. Mississippi State, 1969. Auburn, Alabama's in-state rival, 1969. That's Vanderbilt, 1969. And then Alabama, the seventh of 10 Southeastern Conference schools to integrate. They didn't lead anything. Bear Bryant was at the back of the line. And on top of that, there was so much progress, a lot of it driven by the civil rights movement, that by the 1970 season, 33 of 37 major Southern programs were integrated. There was no shock in that 1970 game when Sam Cunningham ran over Alabama. In fact, and this is another thing that I discovered that's on my website. I didn't come across it until after my book had already been turned in to the publisher. But that very same night, 1970, that USC played at Alabama. And by the way, Bear Bryant had already recruited a black player. Wilbur Jackson was a freshman then. And the myth is that he scheduled the game to lose so that his bigoted fans would realize he's got to start recruiting black players. So there's another hole there in the story. But by the way, 1970, the very same night, the ABC TV National Game of the Week, and was also the game that Dan Jenkins went to for Sports Illustrated, was Stanford at number 4 Arkansas. And Stanford beat Arkansas, which was a national title contender. Alabama was not in 1970. And guess who the star of the game was for Stanford? A black fullback. Hillary Shockley, 149 total yards, 3 touchdowns. But the only game we hear about is Alabama and USC in 1970. We don't hear about Tennessee routing Alabama in 1969, and on the very same night, Stanford beating Arkansas. And then the other thing about that Stanford game, the significance of it, was college football integration was a fait accompli by 1970. It was okay to schedule games in the South. The Alabama-USC fans, they want you to think this is a singular moment. It wasn't at all.
How is anything that that knocks at the longstanding story that's become a part of history received by Alabama fans, received by USC fans?
The Alabama fans is a good question. I can't answer that one as well as others, but USC, a lot of USC fans know it's not true anymore. In fact, USC doesn't promote it in their media guide as much as they used to. They used to make a big deal out of it. Now there's just a sentence that says it was an important game. I've asked a couple of USC writers about it, and they say that a lot of fans know it's not true anymore, but they don't want to talk about it because it's embarrassing. And I think that the same thing would be true at Alabama, but I haven't talked. Most Alabama people don't return my messages. but the thing is, the myth is so entrenched, and it's been on documentaries, Showtime, and ESPN. They just keep regurgitating the same message over and over and over. So you can't tell people the true story. They accept the story they're familiar with. And the point I try to make is that Bob Grant at Wake Forest – signed at Wake Forest in 1964, Warren McVay at Houston in 1964, Jerry Levias at Southern Methodist in 1965, and their sophomore years, because remember, freshmen weren't eligible back in those days, they had to play through death threats. And by the end of their careers, they were not only cheered by fans, other schools were following Wake Forest and Houston and Southern Methodist. Kentucky desegregated in 1966, and then Tennessee followed in 1967. And so there was all kinds of progress in place by 1970. So don't tell me these guys who played through death threats are less significant, or I should say, don't tell me Sam Cunningham, who did nothing more than run behind massive holes against a bad team opened by five white offensive linemen, because USC only had four black starters that night. And don't tell me that Sam Cunningham is more important than Bob Grant, Warren McVay, Jerry Levias, the Kentucky players, and the Tennessee players.
Author Tom Shanahan. Tom, really appreciate your time on this. Very interesting stuff. Tell people again where they can go to read more about this, and also how they can find you on X.
My Twitter handle is Shanny, S-H-A-N-N-Y, 4055. And then my website is tomshanahan.report. And there's a link for my books there. But you can also go to Amazon or my publisher's site, augustpublications.com. And, spread the word, because Jackie Walker should be in the College Football Hall of Fame ahead of Sam Cunningham. Sam Cunningham got in, and you probably don't have time for this, but he got in mostly based on the myth. He had a better NFL career than college career. And Jackie Walker, his stats and his accomplishments far exceed what Sam Cunningham did at college.
Fascinating stuff. Thank you, Tom. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
And when we come back, we will have the PK rant. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
No way Scottie Pippen was a top 50 player.
What?
Michael Jordan made him. Don't get me started.
You're going too far.
I'm not.
Scottie Pippen is all top 50 player.
Hey, let me just ask.
Has Skip Bayless ever did any sports?
Skip, you want to answer that?
Well, at least I don't look like Tarzan and sometimes play like Jane. But other than that, I'm just saying.
And wow.
Now, Aaron Rodgers should at least donate, what is it, $8.5 million that he
made
last
year? Are you on
donate
drugs?
Donate to charity.
Are you
he
on drugs?
Right out there on Front Street
million
on Twitter.
Dollars?
He
what,
said, I'll
what,
put my
I,
salary
I swear,
on.
I swear, listen, so what about Cronus? And how can...
And there we have it, a little collage of what PK is going to talk about today, because Skip Bayless is done at Fox.
Skip Bayless. No, Skip Bayless.
You and your muting today.
It's taken care of me by my producer, but he's slipped a couple times. Skip Bayless is one of three people responsible for the absolute downfall of sports commentary on TV and sports commentary in general. He joined Screamin' A. Smith in 2007 on First Take. They were together from 2007 to 2016. Jamie Horowitz.
God, they had a decade, huh?
Jamie Horowitz is the number one person responsible here for coming up with Embrace Debate and believing that every sports issue, topic, had two sides that could be argued and screamed about. And then Skip Bayless did his part, as you heard there, to come up with contrived BS to scream about on a daily basis. And then people began to follow their model. You can hear a model of that every day on this station at 2 o'clock.
But he's debating himself,
and it's the screaming and creating nonsense to scream about and stir things up, rather than having sophisticated, reported, examined, and reasoned, generally well reasoned conversations.
A 9-minute run
like that, it it is a disease that's infected everything. If you went back to pre-2007, sports commentary in America was far, far better. You were part of it then. I was a part of it then. It was something worth aspiring to be part of in a much bigger way than it is now. A segment of the population is addicted to that, seeks that, wants that. And that's thanks in large part to Skip Bayless, who, by the way, previous to that, was a legitimate sports reporter who covered the Cowboys. I was with him on practice fields at Cowboys Raiders joint practices. He didn't dress appropriately. He dressed in like little running shorts, like a like a young lady at on a beach path.
Wow. That's interesting.
Like he was tanning.
Like John Stockton's like hoop shorts in 1985?
Yeah.
Okay.
Smaller than that.
Okay.
But the guy, and I know he's a Vanderbilt grad, so he had to have something going for him. And look, I guess if you're offered that kind of money, you can't say no. But this guy charged up this thing where you had to argue about everything all of the time. And is completely unhealthy and nonsensical a large share of the time.
So
his stuff about LeBron and his stuff about Tebow was just over the top. And you cannot tell me, and there are other people around locally and nationally who will insist that they believe everything they say, who are lying. There is no way this guy believed at least 30% of the stuff he said was drummed up for the sake of debate and not anything that he believed. And that's the most disappointing part of it for me. So, good riddance.
Is he done then? Is it this mean he's retiring?
He'll go do a podcast or something.
I mean, so apparently ESPN, put out a statement like, good luck, Skip, and we're definitely not bringing you back. I'm paraphrasing, right? Like, they've already put out some sort of a public.
Yeah, and the other problem, let's go further. Stephen A., who's worse, I think, is now in a contract position with ESPN, and he wants more of a voice in the NFL, which is ridiculous. He's an NBA guy. Let him be an NBA guy. This is like Schefter now, who insists on a role in the NBA. Schefter's an NFL guy. Why this greed and this need to be more involved in everything?
I didn't hear that one. I mean, Woj kind of has that.
Right? No, he does a little bit of NBA stuff.
Well, then that's a completely different topic, which is the newsbreaker, which we've talked about some, but the national newsbreaker, lead newsbreaker trend you had some of that, but it's become just the dominant thing. But I'm with you on
the most powerful person at a network. I mean, Adam Schefter nobody has control over Adam, editorial control over Adam Schefter at ESPN.
Which is atrocious. So I'm with you on Skip Bayless. And yeah, like the LeBron thing, for example. I don't remember the Tebow tape, but the LeBron thing that's an example of that just becomes a shtick. He is just saying stuff about LeBron to continue the shtick.
He thought Tim Tebow was fantastic.
Is that right? That what it was?
He thought
Tebow was awesome. He has a lot of bad takes, and I agree. Some of them have to be contrived, right? And that is the problem. I mean, look, we've had some fun moments here yelling when it's actually real and organic and you actually have...
Well, that's called conversation.
Sure. And it is, I think it is in general encouraged to some extent, like, hey, make sure there's some disagreement. That's fine. I get, like, debating can be... When you have a real debate, great, debate. But, yes, this is contrived, and I just don't ever watch any of it.
Me neither.
But it's the same thing with me. Like, I don't ever watch any political coverage on television either. I don't watch any of the national news channels anymore. Like, I don't. So I don't know what that says about me other than it's just too much. And I think there's an element of contrived and a lack of, disingenuous conversation in a lot of these things.
And those shows don't
get... Maybe I've gone too big picture.
Those shows don't get exceptionally good ratings. And you think about the people who have time to watch those shows, which are late morning shows. I mean, it's a certain audience. It's not – that doesn't have something to do at that time of day.
Yeah. Well, although – but apparently First Take has great ratings, right? Isn't that supposed to be – I mean, I know that they're way beyond what FS1 is at.
Great for that
relative to that time, yeah. Text on the text line says, sounds like you should stop the Jared versus Joe segment. And you know what?
But the Jared versus Joe segment is first off, when one person is constantly spewing ridiculous opinions, it's good that someone keep him in check. And B, it's like how often a week?
It's once a week, and actually some of them, it's once a week. We probably go over one segment. We do two segments, so it's once a week for a half hour.
All right, a half an hour once a week is a lot different than a 3 hour a day show.
Yeah. Now look, the thing about Jerry versus Joe too is there are some days where we don't even yell because like we actually agree on things, but usually there's at least one thing that he says that I'm sorry, I have to yell. I'm sorry.
Right.
So, but look, it's a fair thing to bring up because obviously we promote it and we do it and it would still be in the same realm, right? Of two people, let's get two people to scream at each other. It's just that that's how I look at it too, is like I feel like Jared needs to be held in check to some extent.
And I know Stilly's going to come back and play this and defend himself. So I want to say something as an example here.
And by the way, he loves Skip Bayless.
Yeah. Does he really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that tells you all you need to know. But, like, the idea that Vrabel turned over a preseason head coaching gig to Terrell Williams, motivated by the league or instructed by the league.
That's an all-time bad one.
And that it couldn't have been just Vrabel coming up with a good idea for a minority head coach to give him opportunity and coming up with a conspiracy theory there. I think Jared's smarter than that. So I think Jared came up with that and said, I'm going to go with that because it's, to him, quote-unquote, good radio and will stir up 3 hours of conversation. Now, either he's doing that or he's far less smart than I think. Either way, it's disturbing.
I have yelled at him on those and a few others, like, there's no way you actually believe that because he is smart. So I guess we've turned this into an attack on Jared. But
just saying, because I know he's going to listen to this, and it's going to be a segment of his show, and later I'll see you on my Twitter feed. Paul Kuhersky says blah, 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 blah.
All right, we come back. We will get back into the Titans, and specifically the guy who I think we would both agree is on the – cusp of a huge season for him. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.